This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TomonsTraining.com. And don't forget to keep listening to the show after the end music, because Jimmy, Tony, and I had a long discussion about dietitians. I'm sure it will be really enjoyable. And again, thanks for listening.
I'm Kevin Larrabee.
And I'm John Williams.
And with us this week, we have a special guest, Lou Schuler.
Dr. John Berardi.
One-on-one with Craig Ballantyne.
One-on-one interview with Bill Hartman.
I'm Eric Cressy.
Can't forget our shakes this week.
It's a hell of a super shake.
Yeah, let's start off with this week's news. Need any updates for the FitCast to get the show notes with all the links for the show? Just go to thefitcast.com for all your FitCast news.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. FitCast episode number 42, I guess. My name is Kevin Larrabee and I got two guests with me this week, believe it or not. First off, I have Jimmy Smith, and also I have Tony Gentilcore. How are you guys doing?
Good, Kevin.
Good, Kevin. Thanks for having us.
Well, very good. Jimmy, could you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself?
It's going to be a little hard, but if no one knows about me, they can just go to www.jimmysmithtraining.com. That was probably the easiest question in the world anybody could ask you. You know, tell them about yourself, and I totally just dropped the ball on that one. But I'm a performance coach from Stamford, Connecticut. I've been on the show before, so if no one knows me, they can just go to my website and find out about me.
And how about you, Tony?
I am actually a personal trainer in the Boston area. I also write for T-Nation. And I, too, have I've officially entered the 21st century and have my own website up.
Good stuff.
It's GentleCoreTraining.com. For some reason, TonyGentleCore.com was already taken. I have no idea why, but I went with GentleCoreTraining.com. It's not entirely done yet, but at least it's up and running, and you know, you can learn a little bit more about me through that site. So,
very yeah, good. And I just want to add that I write for WannabeBig.com, sports-specific, Elite FTS, and Maximum Fitness as well. Sorry, I didn't bring that out.
Oh, you have to one-up me a little bit, Jimmy. How many more
sites
do you write for?
You said it. I don't write. So you still got the bigger one. You still got T-Nation. So.
Yeah, I think T-Nation trumps some of them, but you're going to be writing for them too. So.
Well, also, you got one on the FitCast magazine, so that's
that too.
One-up Jimmy right there.
He did. That's a unique piece right there. It's a diamond in the rough, the FitCast magazine. So.
Yeah, short-lived, but it's still there. You can still check out his article. I think it was about personal trainers.
Mine?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was, that's right. Yes, it is. It was about just my I just went off on a rant about personal trainers. So.
Well, you guys can check that out at thefitcast.com and check out the article section. They're all in there still, I promise you. But before we get into this week's show, I just want to let everyone know that I'm a little bit under the weather. So if at times during the show I sound like a 16-year-old going through puberty, that's why. And I'm going to try to make sure that doesn't happen too much. Let's just jump into...
Because you look like a 16-year-old going through puberty.
Okay, yeah. Anyways, thanks for that, Jimmy. All right, I'm trying to think up a new name for this, but let's... First off, for FitCast Topics, I didn't call it FitCast News. I'm going to call it FitCast Topics right now. So for FitCast Topics, I just want to mention that a new interview with Mike Robertson is up on the FitCast Insider and on the Insider Store. We talked about the two most preventable injuries in five different sports. I mean, we hit swimming, basketball, baseball, swimming. I think I already said that, but we hit five of them. So go check that out in the FitCast store or the FitCastInsider.com or insider.com/store. Also, I'm not going to get into this too much, but I and John Williams and I are not going to be attending the JP Fitness Summit. Basically, I know everyone was pumped to do the one-year live show, everything like that, but it just didn't work out. So I'm sorry, we're not going to be there. We hope all you that do go have a lot of fun, and I know you will with all those presenters there. So we hope you have a good time. But John and I are going to be doing something. I'm guessing that I'm probably going to be heading out to Denver sometime this year to shoot some more video FitCast stuff, shoot some more cooking episodes with John Williams. Hopefully within the next 6 to 8 months, we can get him his own cooking show on the Food Network. That's our goal with that. Also,
nice.
Yeah, I mean, whoever's seen these episodes, I mean, John deserves his own cooking show. Like, he does all the preparation. He has, I don't know, he shows you where to point the camera, everything. So
he'll reach a racial race status.
Yeah. Jim,
he has some good resources out there. He has Precision Nutrition that he did with John Berardi. And he also did Gourmet Nutrition with John Berardi, right?
Yeah, Gourmet Nutrition.
Yeah, so, I mean, that boy John Williams has some good cooking recipes. I mean, I've tried them, so I love them.
I've impressed a few ladies with his recipes, so.
Really?
You know. Oh, yes. I've made the no-bake strawberry shortcake. You know, I've made a couple of them, so thank you, John.
Wow. So basically, yeah. Did John Williams, like, help you get a woman?
He helped me in the process, yes. It doesn't hurt to know your way around the kitchen with the ladies.
Is that how the show's going to go, Tony? I said that he helped me with recipes. You had a one-up me and said he helped you with recipes with women. Is that it, huh? Because I didn't drop that. You wanted to drop it on me? Okay. I see. I have to roll the sleeve now.
Oh, God. Well, I'm sorry, but before we go any further, I totally forgot to mention Keith Scott was supposed to come on the show this week, and he ended up having to run to the hospital with some family issues. So everyone here at the FitCast, and I'm sure you guys too, are just wishing Keith, he's in our prayers and our thoughts. And
without a doubt.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Keith is a good...
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. Well, first, I wanted to say the thoughts are with Keith, but also, before anyone goes on an internet message board and say that me and Tony are one up each other, we're actually very good friends in real life. So, no one go and make more out of it, you internet geeks.
Well, Keith, we wish you could have been here, but we know we'll see you sometime soon again on the FitCast. And also, John Williams is going to be on the show next week. We're actually scheduling a time to do a show this week. We're going to be recording it a little bit early, but John will be back on the show this week. Things are calming down a little bit, so we'll have some more John Williams. I mean, it seems like forever. I mean, I miss John Williams so much. I mean, he's a great guy, and I can't wait to have him back on the show, and hopefully he's got everything all settled with the house, and hopefully he's going to be moving into a new house really soon, which is really
awesome.
Great. Moving on. Keith Sutanamo at redefinitions.net threw up an interview for the FitCast Insider. He did a great job with it. I don't mean to plug it too much, but I just want to thank Keith for throwing up that review. Also, I just wanted to do a quick review of Cytofuse because I just got their watermelon flavor for the first time, and I actually like the watermelon much more than the lemonade flavor.
Watermelon is awesome.
Yeah, I'm not too much of a lemonade guy, to be honest. But the watermelon, I mean, I could. It really reminds me of the watermelon, like Sour Patch Kid things. I don't know if you guys have seen those. Like, they look like little watermelons, and they're sugared candy.
Yeah, it's 100% sure, but I do love them so much.
I really like the flavor of it. One thing that you have to make sure if you use Cytofuse, use a lot of water. I found that I had to use like 16 ounces of water to mix two scoops. So that's just, but the chunks taste pretty good, to be honest. If you have a chunk of the powder, it tastes surprisingly good.
It is great stuff. It is. I know Mike Boyle uses it for his athletes at BU, and he has like a big like water fountain type thing.
Yeah, like a spray.
Yeah.
I want
awesome.
One of those.
That would be awesome, just to walk into a club and be able to just like pour a post-workout drink into your cup and just walk away.
I know. Like, why aren't people doing that yet? All you can get is like the smoothies with like soy protein and like a banana in it at my gym, which is
the club I work at. They make some pretty good smoothies.
Oh, they do? Cool.
Yeah, they do.
Well, I think that's pretty much it for FitCast topics. See that, so we don't get confused with the news. Now let's jump into the news, and don't forget we're going to be getting into some discussion of the Perform Better seminar right after the news. So stick with us. All right, Jimmy, you have the first article for us this week. Let's start it off.
Yeah, the article this week is actually a self-plug. It's my article that just went up on EliteFTS.com, and it's called Building the Deadlift, a Corrective Approach. I basically wrote this. A lot of people were emailing me. I had a lot of concerns about their deadlift. They weren't progressing, and they seemed to have their training pretty much on par. They seemed like they were doing the right things. So when you're doing the right things, then we have to look at, you know, your body. We have to look at your movement efficiency, what's going on there. So this is really a simple, quick article, not a lot of science behind it, about why deadlifts typically fail and what people can do corrective exercise-wise to improve their deadlift. A lot of people focus on the big things. They focus on, you know, the glute ham raises and you know, the band-resisted deadlifts and things like that. And while all that is fine and great, sometimes you just scale back. And really the basic things people have to look at to build a deadlift up. So it's a little quick article. It's a good read. You can go check EliteFTS.com to read it.
Very good. And also, you have a competing article. It almost seems like with Mike Robertson, he also has a deadlifting article up on T-Nation this week.
Yeah. Actually, Red Mike's article is a good article, and mine was a little more corrective. His was a little more get at it. So, I mean, if people read both those articles and use the information presented in those articles, this actually really helps people deadlift. So,
very cool. Our next article is called "Exercise Helps Rebuild Memory," study finds, and also, I got this article from nzherald.co. I guess it's a New Zealand website, .nz. And I also saw, I don't know if you guys checked out the latest Newsweek, but they had a whole almost issue devoted to exercise's effect on the brain.
Yeah, I saw that.
You did see that. All right, well, this is somewhat related to it. Just in regards to the article, they saw that tests on mice showed they grew new brain cells in a brain region called the dentate gyrus, a part of the hippocampus that is known to be affected in age-related memory, which is usually in decline around age 30 for most humans. And I don't really have to go too much in depth in the whole article, but what it's saying is exercise actually helps your memory in the later years of your life after you're 30 years old, which is really cool. And they also did the same thing with humans. They tested 11 healthy adults and made them undergo a 3-month aerobic exercise regimen, which I'd like to see the effects of strength training, but they only did aerobics here. And they also did MRIs of their brains before and after. They also measured the fitness of each volunteer by measuring the oxygen volume before and after training the training program. And basically, it's what I see that they're getting at is that exercise stimulated more blood flow, which brought more blood flow to their brains. It just helped them out, helped them increase their memory capacity, I guess. What'd you guys think of the article? Well, we just lost Tony. How about you, Jimmy?
I thought the article was good. I mean, I thought it was very interesting. It had some good things in the article, so. And like everything else, more research has to be done, though, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And what were you going to say, Tony?
I just wanted to be clarification as far as you said they did aerobic training and not strength training with this study?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
On the humans. And also obviously, I don't think they had the mice lifting or squatting or anything like that. That'd be kind of cool, though.
I'm just saying, like, I agree with you in the sense I wish they would have they've done the study with resistance training, because I know, especially with people with MS and within the last, you know, 10, 15 years with the resistance training, they've seen a lot of improvements with the people with MS if they start including resistance training into their daily lives. So, I mean, it only makes sense. I mean, you know, the brain and spinal cord is nervous system. Strength training is very CNS intensive. So, it definitely all makes sense. So,
definitely. For everyone out there, I really recommend checking out this week's Newsweek magazine. I only got to read parts of it when I was in line at Walmart on the checkout, but my mom has a copy and she's going to send it up to me and I'll eventually end up reading it, but definitely something to check out. And Jimmy, you actually have, again, the next article for us.
I do have the next article. The article is actually a study. The title of the study is 6 months supplementation with conjugated linoleic acid induces regional specific fat mass decreases in overweight and obese. So real quick, what this is this popular supplement, CLA. CLA came out a while ago and had a lot of hype behind it, and actually TC from T-Nation was one of the people that really brought CLA to the forefront, at least in the exercise community. But the thing is, a lot of people went and were saying, oh, CLA has to be a certain part of CLA works, only 50% of it works. There was a lot of negative stuff towards CLA. Which really wasn't warranted, considering when you look at all the positive research behind CLA. Yes, there are some negative research. There are some studies that show certain things about it, but at the same time, 9 out of every 10 studies will show a decrease in fat mass, a decrease in body weight, a decrease in body fat. So, I mean, 9 out of 10, I'm going to trust those 9 over that other one. So basically what this study showed is that 6 months of supplementation With CLA reduces body fat mass and increases or maintains lean body mass. And that's especially important this time of year as everybody's going towards now. Everybody wants to get ready for the beach. It's going to become warm now within the next couple of weeks. CLA is a supplement everybody needs to look at. But the different thing about this study is that it looked at regional specific fat loss. So where we lose fat in our body. We store fat specifically on our body for certain reasons at certain areas. So what this study did is it gave CLA 3 times a day for a total of 4 grams for 6 months. And it showed CLA significantly decreased body fat mass at month 3 and month 6 when they compared it with their placebo group. So the group that didn't get CLA got something completely different. Now this next part is very interesting to the women because I know a lot of women have been emailing in the FitCast. They want more female-related topics. The majority of the decreases were found in the legs and in females. And typically you won't find males that want to lose fat in their legs, so you'll find it in females. So that's a very positive. CLA, at 4 grams a day, it can actually be shown to increase or maintain lean body mass while reducing body fat on women's legs. So that's a really good sign right there. And there's a study they did before on CLA where they gave 3 grams, 6 grams, and 9 grams a day. I don't have the reference in front of me for this one, so I'm sorry. They found that 3 grams a day was actually optimal for CLA for people. So you have this 3 to 4 gram period that we're using the studies, and they found that it took fat off women's legs. So I think everybody would be best served to use CLA. We know it helps insulin resistance, so it's going to help central trunk obesity, fat around our stomach, which everybody's trying to get rid of this time of year. So what do you guys think of that? Have you guys used CLA before?
Well, I just wanted to start off. A lot of the studies that I've seen in regards to CLA was with obese people. How much of an effect will this really have on someone that's really just looking to lose like that last 5 or 10 pounds?
Well, that's the same thing. When you look at every study out there that's been done on rats, I mean, how many studies do we look at, you know, fat reduction and lipolysis and, you know, hormonal responses, you know, like in rats? You know, it's the same thing. I totally understand where you're coming from, where a lot of studies are done on obese people. A lot of studies are done, you know, with aerobic training, like Tony just said about the last study there. Not a lot of studies are done with the guy at 6%, with the guy at 8% that wants to get lower, or the guy at 12% that wants to get to 10, because, you know, those people are just generally harder to find. So I think when you have to look at it, you have to look at what CLA is going to actually do. We know it has a positive effect on our insulin in our body, on insulin sensitivity, on improving that. So you combine that with a moderate to low carbohydrate diet, you know, healthy fats, which CLA is a healthy fat, and it's going to have some positive effect on us. Is it going to be a standalone supplement like omega-3 fish oils? I don't think so, but that's why I like products like Flame Out. There's some other fish oil products out there in the market that combine CLA, because I think it is an integral supplement, but at the same time, I don't think it's going to be our standalone. But if you add that to fish oils and to a healthy diet, I think it's going to work. Again, you're right, obese people are completely different. Someone who's 320 versus, you know, me at 225, it's completely different what it's going to do, you know, how our body looks. But I still think it's a very, very promising supplement, especially with all the research out there.
What do you think, Tony?
I concur. I honestly, I've never personally experimented with it. The only form of CLA I've gotten is through Flame Out. So, I it sounds promising to me the way Jimmy explained it. So, I can't really say too much because I've never really personally tried it. So,
yeah, I think with CLA, people got disappointed because they went and they initially were like, this supplement's going to make me lose weight. But the same thing with green tea that people do. Like green tea we know is great, and we know it's great antioxidant, but people pick up, you know, green tea and they're like, all right, I'm going to mildly change my diet. I'm going to work out a little bit harder, and I'm going to take green tea, and I expect to have a new body. It's not going to work that way. Mm-hmm. When Tony said he's taking it with omega-3s, when you take it and when you have a good diet, it's going to help you. Any little bit helps. I don't think it's a standalone. Like, I don't think it's going to be the one thing you're going to purchase to make you lose weight, but I think it can be very effective for helping you lose weight.
And that's an important point because, you know, a lot of people will start taking a supplement because they feel like it's going to be, it's going to magically, you know, transform their body. But we all know, you know, supplements are, you know, as Alan always says, progress enhancers, not progress starters. So unless someone's really dialed in with their diet and they're consistently training, I don't even discuss supplements with my clients until I know that they're 100% compliant with everything else I'm trying to do with them.
Yeah, exactly. So, and
I mean, it sounds promising, and I know CLA's in Flameout, and I've heard a lot of positive things about it. So, but in the grand scheme of things, I just think people, you know, they see a study like this, or they see like the next great product. Oh, I'm going to take that. I'm going to get ripped. And, but it's so much more important to, you know, how about we not eat pizza, you know, four nights a week, and, you know, how about we train consistently? You know, that might work well too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I totally agree with Tony. I mean, there's a lot of supplements out there, and he quoted Alan Collins over as a great saying. People have no business taking supplements if they don't have to train in their diet in order. And I think America is so obsessed with losing fat that anytime the popular media, which it did with CLA, because it was all over, you know, Fox News and ABC News, when the popular media gets hold of some research study, like they did with vitamin E like a year and a half ago, it said vitamin E wasn't good for you. When they get a hold of it and put it out there, like, that's what people believe. But if we're not focusing on our diet and our nutrition, we're not going to get any results. That's like with the movie 300. You know, everybody's so obsessed with the actors and
that's all over the place right now, that workout.
Yeah, you know, that workout, and you know, I just blogged about it the other day, you know, in my blog, JimmySmithTraining.blogspot.com.
Plug!
Nice plug, Jimmy.
Well, thank you. I just talked about how to build your own 300 workout, and if somebody goes and reads it, they're like, there's no secrets in there. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. It's all about the effort and the intensity, and it's the same thing that comes. If you don't use something, if you can't put the effort and the intensity behind your diet and nutrition. So,
absolutely, absolutely.
Well, I think
too much time.
One telling sign about, especially our country, is that I like to get a lot of stories on Yahoo News, and if you look at their health section, they have a whole section dedicated to weight loss news. Isn't that cool? You know, just yeah. I mean, they just have, well, it's pretty much the same stories, just another country fighting obesity, jobs affecting obesity, childhood obesity. So that's why I've had a lot of childhood obesity articles lately, and also low carb diets speeds up initial weight loss, says a study, which is fantastic, which we already knew.
Yeah,
but that's all good stuff. And again, with CLA, I recommend everyone out there go check out something like Flameout. I mean, it's pretty much the same price of just getting some bulk fish oil if you look at the amount of DHA in it, so in EPA. So definitely check that out, tnation.com. Not a sponsor, but make good products. Anyways, that's it for the news. Let's just jump right into the discussion about the Perform Better seminar. Jimmy and Tony, you guys were both there in Boston this weekend, last weekend, fighting the weather, fighting the horrible storm, the slush, whatever you want to get into. But we ended up making it on Saturday, and we got to see four pretty good presentations.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. It was, although the weather, I'm from upstate New York, so the weather didn't necessarily bother me too much, but it was definitely, it was actually a pretty good turnout. I don't know what the final number was.
Oh, the place was packed.
There had to have been at least 200 people there,
yeah.
I would think. I mean, the bleachers were full, but I've never been to a Perform Better seminar. I mean, I know Eric has presented at a few, and he spoke how organized it was, how they're on point with everything. And as soon as you walked in the door, it was exactly that. You know, they gave you your name tag, you know, gave you your materials into the presentation. And I was actually pretty impressed with their setup. They had, you know, big screen and they up on the podium, and they, you know, had all their products lined out. So as far as presentation, not even getting to the actual presenters, but as far as just the overall professionalism and look they had, I was very impressed with it.
It was great. Even the head trainer for the Boston Celtics was there. I didn't get to meet him, though. I'm a hardcore Celtics fan. I would have loved to actually have met him, but I didn't get to. Anyways, let's jump into the discussion of the presentations. First off, before we get into it, just to let everyone out there know, we're not going to pretty much give the presentations to you because we want to give you some reason to go to these seminars. I mean, there's great seminars. You can learn so much. So we're just going to go through a couple of things, and we're just going to do it like a roundtable. So first off, we saw Alan Cosgrove's real-world fat loss presentation. For Jimmy and I, we've seen it a couple of times. Tony, have you ever seen that before?
No, that was my first time.
Oh, great. And
that's actually my first time. I mean, I've met Alan before, but I've never listen to him present. So that was the first time I ever listened to him speak as a presenter. So,
well, what did you? We'll start off with you. What did you think of it?
Oh, it was phenomenal. Like, it's just very. I mean, Alan's very good at giving practical, useful, insightful information that you can use immediately. So, and it was even double so for me because his presentation was geared towards personal trainers. He made a good point saying how, you know, the fitness industry or the health industry, people spend over $100 billion on weight loss alone. I think that's a projected number for 2006.
Yep.
Or for 2007, sorry, on products, training, diets, and surgery. And he made a point of saying, like, only 0.5% of personal trainers make six figures, which was telling him that basically we as personal trainers are not giving effective fat loss programming. And I would agree with that wholeheartedly because I'm around it every day.
Mm-hmm.
I think the presentation, I mean, he backed everything up with scientific research, past and present, current, you know, and it was nice because he gave a nice little hierarchy. You know, what I took the most from it was, like, you know, if I only have, you know, 3 hours with a client or four hours a week with a client or 5 hours.
God, we lost Tony again.
Did we just lose him again?
Tony, are you there?
Oh, I'm here. Oh, did you lose me?
We lost you when you were talking about 2 hours and 3 hours and 4 hours a week.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just jump right back into it.
Let me start back over.
Sure.
So basically, you know, he gave a nice little hierarchy of, you know, if you only have a limited amount of time with the client, what you should focus on. You know, like if you're with them for 3 hours a week, 4 to 5, 6 plus, you know, he broke it down in a very simple way. You know, basically, if you're with them for 3 hours a week, you need to be doing some metabolic resistance training. You know, if you have a little bit more time, you can add in some HIIT. You have a little bit more time, you can add in some high-intensity cardio. But overall, I took a lot from his presentation, and he's very entertaining. I mean, you can't mm-hmm. not like listening to him speak. So, I mean, it's not just blah, 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 monotone. I mean, he's very engaging, and you really can't argue with what he talks about because he backs everything up with scientific research. And not only scientific research, but he gave pictures and before and afters of his clients. Well, the stuff that he's done, and you can't really argue with it. When you got somebody losing 180 pounds, going from 285 pounds to 130-pound attractive woman, you can't really argue with what he's trying to do, you know. And he called out a lot of trainers because, you know, you go on the forums, you go to seminars, and you're going to hear, oh, well, that's wrong, I do it this way. It's like, well, let me see pictures, let me see your results. Mm-hmm. And then that's when they're going to be like, and Alan, you know, he like, what I liked about it is because, like I said, he had the research to back it up, plus he had real-world, in the trenches evidence of what he does works. So I was very impressed with his presentation.
What'd you think, Jimmy, after seeing it for the second time?
Yeah, this is my second time seeing it. I thought it was excellent. The thing about Alan Cosgrove and the reason why he's on top of the field, people get to the top in the field for two reasons. There's people who have names because they sell good products, and, you know, because of their online presence. They have online presence. And then there's people that get to the top just because they're damn good at what they do. And that's where Alan falls into. Alan is the top of the field because he's excellent at what he does. And, you know, his presentation was exactly that. I mean, I had seen it before, but he went, I saw it in September, and then I saw it again in March, and he added so many different studies to it. Mm-hmm. He added new stuff that he learned, because if anybody has ever talked to Alan or has ever heard him speak or any of his audio products, he's a sponge. I mean, that's the guy at the top of the field, and he's learning from everybody. So that was the great thing of his presentation. I mean, you know, and he looked at it, he just broke down what people are doing, and, you know, there's so much you could take away from it. You know, people still aren't doing the low carb diets. People are still doing the low fat diets. People aren't taking the phytonutrients. So like the fruits and the vegetables they need to be taking. There's so much out there on the people can do to lose fat. And like Tony said, Alan said it, you know, the fat loss industry is a huge industry. And as trainers, people just we're not servicing it right. I mean, there's clients still that aren't there losing weight, and you can't make excuses. I talk to so many trainers, and they say, my client's not losing weight because, you know, because their client's not compliant, because there's issues, there's that. The fact of the matter is, you have to go back and look at your programming as their trainer. And Alan's really, really broke it down and showed the best of fat loss research and what to really do with people. And I think the thing that trainers are so caught up, in general, you're only going to have 3 hours a week with people. So yes, it does give them time to screw it up. But by the same token, if you're giving them a great 3 hours, for that week, you're going to do a lot. And then the first and foremost is heavy resistance training. I mean, no secret, we're getting warm now. Everybody wants to start, wearing less clothes. That's where you have to look. Don't look at your aerobic activity. I guess I'm kind of blessed because I can't do any type of aerobic activity in the gym. Like, it's just not fun. I can't do any type of intervals or any type of, general physical appearance. None of that in the gym. I have to get outside and do it with a sled. I have to do, sprints out of track, sprints with a weighted vest on, stuff like that. And Alan just went and showed the best fat loss research you're going to find, and he backed it with research, and he backed it with practical knowledge. Like Tony said, he had women that were just overweight, and then, within a couple of months, were just, very attractive, very slim. And if you're already lean and don't think his principles will work for you, they will. Because everybody gets so caught up in the advanced stuff, like we were just saying about CLA, but they don't have their basics present. They don't have their basics down. Alan's presentation let us know the basics. Go low carb. You need to train right. You need to do things right. Alan's presentation really brought us to the forefront. I think it's an excellent presentation. He's still presenting at some Perform Better, I believe. And he also has a real-world fat loss manual out, so I would suggest anybody to pick that up as well.
You can go through the FitCast store to help us out. But can I plug something too, Jimmy?
You can plug.
All right, I get my one in. But just echoing what the other guys were saying, I thought it was great as a presentation that he started off by asking us questions like, name all the hormones that increase as a result of resistance training and are necessary for hypertrophy. And everyone who didn't have the handout would be growth hormone, going on and on. And it, just saying there's none. First off, I just want to ask you guys, do you guys agree with that? I know you saw the research that backed it up, but I was wondering what you guys thought.
Go ahead, Tony.
I can go both ways because I think people do worry about minutia a little too much. How much growth hormone am I releasing? IGF-1, blah blah blah. Obviously, the research says it's not that big of a deal, but it really comes down to how you're training, the intensiveness of your training, and that is going to affect your hormones, like how much is being released or how little is being released or whatever. I can't – when someone's up there, backing stuff up with scientific research, you can't really argue with it. but a lot of times – I know I'm not the only one that says this. What happens in the lab doesn't necessarily happen in the real world. I can go both ways with it in the grand scheme of things.
I would – I'm actually going to sway towards – I don't really agree with it as much. I know there's the research out there – and I totally agree that the real-world practitioners are the ones that are doing things 10 years ahead of the people, in the labs and in the research. But I just think there's so much evidence out there that looks at the hormonal responses to training that you can't turn a blind eye on it. Now, I understand everybody says first thing in the morning or, you have to do 3 sets of 10 and you'll get a greater hormonal response. If you know anything about growth hormone and what people are actually using, the 5 IUs you're going to get from 3 sets of 10 reps isn't going to be anything in the long run. And I know people say take 2 grams of glutamine at night before you go to bed. There's stuff like that, and I guess every little bit helps. If someone's trying to get lean, every little bit helps. But I'm not going to dictate my training on 3 sets of 10 because I'm going to produce slightly more growth hormone. But at the same time, I think we have to look at what goes on. We know after training we're going to have to really subdue our cortisol, which is a hormone. And we're going to have to do things to keep our body in an anabolic state. So I lean more towards disagreeing with it, but at the same time, we just have to take an overall approach to our training. If we train hard, we eat right, let's not focus on the minutiae like Tony said.
Very good. We'll wrap that up. And also, I think both of you guys are involved with this, but the Lifting for Lymphoma program that Alan is doing, everyone should check that out. I think you said it. Is it 900 pages right now?
Yeah, I think that's what he said.
Yeah.
900 page e-manual that he has to put on a CD. You can't even download it. It's that big. And that should be coming up soon, and as soon as it is, I'm going to try to get Alan on to talk a little bit about it, but just make sure to check that out. We'll jump into the...
I was going to say one more thing about that. All the proceeds for that go to the Lymphoma and I believe Lymphoma Society of America. Yeah. I think I'm mistaken with that, but 100% of the proceeds go to a great cause, and I mean everybody contributed to it. Like everybody in the fitness industry was in it.
I think there's like what 60 contributors or something like that.
There's something like that. Yeah. Like you name names, and it's easily the biggest collection of names ever, and it's for such a great cause. So.
Is Tony Little is the guy that does the, what's that thing called? You know Tony Little, the huge guy?
The Gazelle?
The Gazelle?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Is he in that?
I don't know if he's in it. I wouldn't be surprised if Alan got him in it because that's how far Alan's reach goes. So.
Well, I just want to learn a little bit more about the Gazelle. I might pick one up this summer. All right, we'll jump into the next presentation that was done by Mike Boyle. And for... Tony, I don't know if you've seen this before, but I know Jimmy and I saw it at Ryan Lee's boot camp, and it was all on advanced program design, and basically his whole presentation was his philosophy with how he trains his athletes at his facility. He just he went into talking about just how he sets up the regimen from how much time he devotes to like movement and all, how much time he devotes to strength and to cardio and speed training. And we'll just start off, we'll just go in the opposite direction. Jimmy, what did you think of it?
Again, I thought it was a very good presentation. Just like I said about Alan, it's the best getting better. I saw his presentation before. I actually saw his presentation at the boot camp, but I also saw it in New York City. Mm-hmm. I went to a seminar he did for Equinox. I had the same exact presentation. I saw the DVD set that Tony was actually at when they initially filmed it. I mean, each time Mike presented the material a little bit differently. Combine the stuff he just learned. So that was a very good presentation. I mean, it broke it down. How do you really train people? You know, Mike will do 10 minutes of foam rolling. He'll do his activation stuff, and then his clients will get into it. And I think his trainers and his strength coaches, no one ever looks at how do we slice the pie. You know, if we're with somebody for an hour and 15 minutes, how do we break it up? I think everybody's still kind of stuck in the old mythology of, all right, you know, we have to get in and train. We have an hour to train. But, all right, let's do 10 minutes of soft tissue, 10 minutes to activation, you know, 10 minutes to, you know, slide dragging, whatever it may be. So that was an excellent presentation.
How about you, Tony?
I agree wholeheartedly. I was lucky enough to be at the filming of that DVD set. So I got to do, I think, 8 hours worth of listening to him speak about how he, you know, comes up with his programming. So I've listened to that presentation before. And I can't say enough good things about it. I mean, he like Alan, you know, Mike is, you know, just as impressive as far as being able to take information and giving it out in a practical manner that you can just use immediately. I know him personally. Mike has influenced the way I train people immensely, especially, you know, I have an hour with somebody in a facility. Not only that, but there's times when I'm training people and the facility is packed. And I really have to divide my time up in a time-efficient manner. So, you know, if I have to spend, I mean, like with foam rolling, for instance, if I have to spend a half hour and spend that time foam rolling somebody, I mean, that's good time. Like, I'm not sitting there, like, doing foo-foo stuff. I mean, if a guy's sitting in front of a computer for, you know, 10 hours a day and he needs a foam rolling, by all means, I'm going to give it to him. And it still is going to give me 30 minutes of, you know, pretty intensive weight training in there. Mike does a very good job at breaking. I mean, he uses a phrase called computer guy that, you know, basically the programming flaws. You know, the last thing that the computer guy needs to do is go into the gym and get on a bike, do some arm curls, do some bench presses, do some lat pull downs, because it's just reinforcing, you know, a flexed spine that he's doing in the first place. And Jimmy and I are actually collaborating on an article for T-Nation called Deconstructing Computer Guy. That we're gonna focus a little bit more on what to do outside of the gym, not so much in it, but definitely, you know, Mike, he's very influential in how I approach my programming with my clients, and I can't speak enough highly about how the way he presents his material.
Yeah, I mean, anytime I get to see Mike, I love it, just because I'm still someone that's learning as much as I possibly can. I'm still in school, so just being able
to... Yeah, I have both of his DVD sets, and I think I've watched them both twice.
Yeah.
And I mean, I take notes, and I'm just like, oh, that makes sense. And I learn so much every time I listen to him talk. I mean, hanging out with him at his house, like, and he's talking, and like, oh, man, he's forgotten more than I'll ever know. You know, it's humbling in a lot of ways, but it's awesome too, because I mean, it's great to be around these sort of people and learn from the best.
Yeah, you definitely have to be around like people that are thinking the same way you're thinking. And for everybody who's wondering where that article is for me and Tony, because we've been talking about it for a while, we just want to make it excellent. So that's why it's taking us time to get out.
That's why it's taking 6 months.
We've been talking about this article
before Christmas.
We started talking about this article in November. But you know, like, you know, great movies aren't made in a matter of months. You know, they're made for a while. It took them a while to make the. You know, it took them a while to make the Godfather movie.
Oh, okay, I don't even know that. I mean, so, Jimmy.
We're gonna talking this one up. People are gonna. We got expectations now. If you're talking Godfather,
It's a collaboration from two of the brightest and youngest. So why not, buddy?
This better be biblical. That's all I have to say. God. It better be. But
now you just put biblical on it. That's just bad.
Okay. Well, anyways,
the Bible out of it.
Getting back to the presentation. One of the things that I took home both times, and I got to talk to Mike Robertson about this a little bit in the Insider interview, was the relationship between the different joints and how they need different approaches. It just he gave us a chart in the PowerPoint slides that I think is like a must-have for everyone. It's just talking about for ankle, you need mobility. For knee, stability, then hip mobility, lumbar spine stability, just so on and so forth. And just being like, he's just talking about something as simple as if I'm having knee pain, like I have to look at the ankle and I have to look at the hip because there very well could be problems there causing knee pain. And like just some of those simple things where if there's pain in the knee, it doesn't mean there's necessarily something wrong with your knee. I think that's huge.
And I can tell you firsthand, I would have to say about 90% of the people I deal with who do have knee pain, I take them to an ankle mobility assessment, and they'll watch me do it. I mean, mine's not fantastic. I mean, but it's good, and I do it, and they look at me like, oh, that's easy, and then they get on there. And, you know, I do the same drill that Mike Boyle used in both of his videos, you know, showcasing it, and they can't do it. And they're like, oh, my God. And then I, exactly like you said, I go down and I break it down, that joint-by-joint approach that Boyle made popular. You know, a lot of people use that, and it's because of Mike Boyle, so.
Yeah. Hopefully my ankle article will be up either this week or next week. I have a lot of research in it just about the ankle, but like everything else, you can't look at the site of pain. There's a quote from a Czech physical therapist, I believe, named Carl Lewin. He said, "Yeah, he who treats the site of pain is lost." And that's the exact way that trainers are starting to look at things, at least good trainers, at least, and you have to look at it that, you know, if your knee's hurting you, it's not your knee, chances are. You know, 9 times out of 10, you have to look elsewhere in your body. You have to look at your hips, you have to look at your feet, your ankles, your opposite shoulder. There's things you just have to look at in your body. So it's never an open and shut case for the human body.
Yeah, the last thing, just in regards to this presentation, I was kind of disappointed that he didn't really talk about his CNS intensive training, but that's what we got to see at Mike Boyle's place in February. But for anyone out there who hasn't already checked out his T-Nation article, I mean, if there's any article that you have to read this month, sorry, Jimmy. But you have to read this article that Mike Boyle put up on CNS intensive training. It'll really just get you thinking about how you're setting up your programs and such. It's a great read.
Yeah, it's a great read. And like I said, the DVD set he just put out for CNS intensive training, and I think he's given away PowerPoint slides to one of his functional strength coaches too. So read that article and then read Deconstructing the Computer Guy.
Yeah, definitely do that. All right, we'll jump into the next presentation, which was given by Gray Cook. Going into this, I've never met Gray Cook. I really haven't read too much of his stuff, and I really liked his presentation. Believe it or not, it was almost like, for me, I don't want to put him in the same crowd as other people, but when I was finished with the presentation, for me it was a lot like a mixture of Bill Hartman and Eric Cressy. I don't want to put him in like any special boat or anything like that, but I just really, he covered a lot on shoulder screening. He talked a lot about just doing some tests to for your own mobility, and also just he went into a lot of things that actually I got to see Bill Hartman do at the JP Fitness Summit last year, just in regards to testing out your mobility. And I thought he was great, really knowledgeable guy. They said he was a redneck, but I didn't really get too much of that in the presentation. And I'm really looking forward to, I want to try to get him on the show, and hopefully we can have him on the show soon, because I just want to listen to him talk a little more about this in the future. But we'll start off this time with Tony. What'd you think of it?
It was awesome. I know Gray Cook's been around for a while, and I know he's pretty much revolutionized the way that we as trainers and coaches and strength coaches kind of assess our clients and athletes, as far as being able to see how they move and being able to look at compensation patterns and weaknesses and whatnot. And his presentation that he gave at this specific seminar was really eye-opening for me. I was very, very, very impressed by it. And he brought up a lot of cool things. One of the coolest things I thought he brought up was the whole concept of diaphragmatic breathing and as far as scapular dysfunction. So he made a good point of saying that you know, you usually shoulder issues is usually a culprit of you know, scapular and T-spine dysfunction. And you know, you look at, and he said, you know, look at how the way people breathe, are they elevating their shoulders? And if they are, I mean, that's a true indication when you think about it. They're firing the traps, they're fighting the elevator. No wonder why their shoulder hurts, you know. So he discussed the diaphragmatic breathing, using your diaphragm, breathing through your stomach. He showcased a few drills that you can do to reset your breathing pattern. And he even showed it, like, he took people through the practical. You know, we took them through the assessments to find any asymmetry with shoulder range of motion. And, you know, after they did that resetting the breathing, it improves, you know. So it was really cool to see that. And that's something I've already started implementing a lot of that stuff with some of my clients as of last week, kind of discussing that with them and showing them the stuff they can do to help improve their shoulder.
I thought it was an excellent presentation. I've never seen Gray Cook speak in person. I've read his stuff. I've always been a fan of his stuff for a while now, but I thought the presentation was fantastic. He brought up some really good points. Like Tony said, he talked a lot about the breathing, and there's a lot of work being done with the pelvic floor now and its relation to breathing and what's going on. You know, at the shoulder and pain there. There's actually Gray Cook's concept of, you know, one joint needs mobility, one joint needs stability, that a lot of people credit Mike Boyle for. And Mike even actually said that it was Gray's idea. So Gray Cook has some excellent stuff. I think I know he has a DVD out there about the shoulder presentation, but I would definitely urge anyone to go see it in person. It was a great presentation. He talked a lot about how the grip affects things. A test I took from it, you know, where he just used simply, you know, a levator length test, whereas you close your jaw and then you dip your chin towards your collarbone. Can you touch your collarbone with your chin? You know, yes or no. That's going to let you know what's going on with your levator on that opposite side. So, I mean, I know one side I can't. And, you know, that's just simple screen. While I had always known to look for tight levators, I didn't look for it in that way. So as many ways you can look for muscle or for dysfunction, the more the better. So, but Gray Cook's presentation is excellent.
Absolutely. And everyone out there should check out, he actually has a DVD series called Secrets of the Shoulder, where it was at his functional movement screen workshop that was in January. You can check that out at his website. I'll throw up a link for that, and I'm probably going to be purchasing this myself because it's something.
I actually ended up buying that.
Oh, you did? Oh, I remember talking about that.
Yeah, I bought the. I haven't viewed the whole thing yet, but I actually bought that DVD. So,
what'd you think? Did you get to watch it yet?
I haven't. So, but I know it's going to be awesome. I mean, it's basically the stuff. It's going over the stuff in more detail what he covered in that presentation. So, I can only expect good things. So.
Very good. All right, our last presentation for the Perform Better seminar was done by Juan Carlos Santana. It was called Beyond Band Training, Stretching the Limits of Elastic Training. basically just went over. He actually covered a ton of different exercises in regards to band training. Some of them I don't even know how he thought them up, to be completely honest. And I guess band trainings do have their place in the fitness world, and I just want to see what you guys thought about it. Jimmy, let's start off with you.
I thought it was a good presentation. I'd read some of Juan Carlos Santana's stuff. Obviously, he's one of the more popular names in the fitness industry. And he presented some really very good realistic solutions for band training, you know, for people. Today's day and age, it's so hard for people to get in workouts, or when people are traveling, they have to have an option. They have to have something to be able to do to stay in shape. And Juan Carlos Santana is the master of band training. I think band training has become overreacted to in the industry. A lot of people are doing a lot of crazy things with it, but you know, Juan Carlos Santana showed with his JC bands what people can do, how they can stay in shape, how they can get good workouts. Because the thing is, like, it's the same way with bodyweight workouts, is people jump on bodyweight workouts and say, oh, I can't burn fat with those. You can. You just have to do it right. And the same thing Juan Carlos Santana showed with it, so I'll definitely be incorporating some of his band stuff with my clients when they travel, and you know, even his active recoveries, and just some stuff that could burn some more calories. So I thought it was good.
How about you, Tony?
I first have to say that he's one big mofo.
Oh yeah, he's huge.
I distinctly remember a few people on the resume. Man, Juan Carlos is a big guy because they'd never seen him in person before. He's a pretty big guy. But regardless of that, he's a very, very enthusiastic presenter. He definitely knows this material, and you know.
And it looks like he loves it too.
Absolutely.
You said, he just looked like he was really into it.
Yeah, I mean, he's very enthusiastic, and he's into it, and you know, not only that, like Jimmy said, I mean, he has some very practical information as far as the busy types, you know, the people who can only get to the gym, or limited with how much time they can get to the gym, or limited with how much time they can train. You know, bands are a very good option. I use bands quite a bit in my programming with some of my clients at where I work. Not to the extent that he uses them. I mean, because I just don't have the facilities to do a lot of stuff that he has, a lot of his clients do. But needless to say, I do use bands, and a lot of the information I learned during that presentation was very useful as far as how I would approach it with programming with certain clients.
One thing that I really I'm sorry, Jimmy, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Kev.
One thing I just really took home is that for some people, especially beginners, bands can be great. He showed one setup where he was just helping people basically learn how to do a push-up. And for some people, they just really have a hard time learning how to do push-ups. And I think that's great with a lot of trainers out there working with people that might have not exercised in 5 or even 10 years. And something like this can be great, and like you guys said, for traveling, I guess that never really occurred to me, but traveling, this would be great if you have like a super band with you. Just take it out for 15, 20 minutes, and you can get a total body workout.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, and I mean, it fits right in your luggage, so it's perfect.
Yeah, it's great. But Jimmy, you were going to say something.
All I was going to say is that Juan Carlos Santana trained some pretty high-level athletes. Like, I know he has some top mixed martial arts competitors that go to his facility, so he's obviously doing a lot right down there.
Absolutely. He looks like he has a really nice facility. It's in Florida, which can't be too bad. So God bless him. We'll try to get him on the show. And if you guys haven't checked out his site, it's ihpfit.com, and it's the Institute of Human Performance. And he's in Boca Raton, Florida. Very good deal. And check out, he has a ton of DVDs you can check out in regards to band training. And you can get all of his bands and all of his DVDs at performbetter.com. So definitely give that stuff a look if you haven't already. And I don't think there is any gym, commercial or not, these days that doesn't have bands in them. So you might as well utilize them if you can.
Absolutely.
And I guess that's pretty much it for the seminar. Tony, did you see Lee Taft's low box training?
No, I didn't. I listened to Boyle, Cook, and Owen, and then Eric and I took off. We didn't get a chance to go see Leeds, so I feel bad about that, but I didn't get a chance to go to listen to him. But I know he's a brilliant guy, and I do know that he was working people pretty hard, because there would be people coming into Alan's presentation all huffing and puffing. So he was definitely working a lot of people. So.
Oh, Alan looked like he was beating the crap out of his participants.
Yeah, he was too. It was kind of funny. He was beating some people up too. So people definitely got a workout that afternoon. I mean, they told people before we broke, because in the morning it's the actual presentations, and the afternoon is the practical portion. They told people not to eat a heavy lunch. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, we have. What did we get? Cheesesteaks. So.
Oh man, I was telling Jimmy pointed out a sub shop that's near my house, and it's good subs. But we went to the sub place, and that weekend I thought trumped it. So there's.
Oh, I thought Tony was. I thought Tony must have been hallucinating, because I got a steak. I got a steak and cheese sandwich.
Yeah, where was the steak?
Half the sandwich is bread.
Exactly.
There's only steak on half the roll. I don't know how he could say it beat my favorite place in college.
Mine was delicious. I'm sorry, but my sub was delicious.
My steak was good, but there was just no steak like Jimmy's. So.
I don't know. Look, I eat drastically different now than I did in college. When I was at that sub place by Tony's house in college, I used to get a steak, bacon, and cheese sub. I don't know how anything in the world could beat that, my friend. So.
True. It's a good place. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying. It was very scrumptious.
Scrumptious.
Well, good. Now all the FakeCast listeners know where to eat if they go see Tony or they go to XL.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm sure they have some healthy options there as well. But I guess that's pretty...
I don't know about that.
God. What's wrong with like a salad, Tony? I mean, Jimmy. Uh-huh. I keep calling Jimmy Tony and Tony Jimmy. I've been doing that all show.
I don't know what's happening. There's two people. I don't think they sell healthy options. I don't know. I haven't been at that place by Tony's house in a while, but they're a really good place.
All right. Well, we.
It is. It's like the size of my living room. The place is so small, but they make great subs. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, very good. Before we do go, though, I just want to give a shout out to Craig Ballantyne and TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. Don't forget to check out his new TTMembers.com site. Have either of you guys contributed to that yet?
I have not.
I have not. I actually might be doing an interview on it soon, actually. So
very cool. We hope to see both of you guys on there, and I think we're going to be having Craig on again in the future. I think it's about time. We haven't had him on in like 40 episodes or 30 episodes, so hopefully we'll have him on to talk about a little bit of turbulence training someday. But that'll wrap it up for this week's episode of the FitCast. FitCast episode number 42. Let's see if we can get this right. My name is Kevin Larrabee.
My name is Jimmy Smith.
No, we didn't get it right. All right, well.
You were the host. You got to cue us, pal.
Yeah, I know, but I just thought you guys would figure it out telepathically or something. Well, all right. Well, we'll just do it in alphabetical order this time.
All right.
Then Tony would go first.
Okay, fine. Tony, go first. All right. For this week's episode of the FitCast, I'm Kevin Larrabee.
I'm Tony Jonacore.
I'm Jimmy Smith.
We'll see you guys later. Don't forget to check out thefitcast.com. Check us out on iTunes. You know all that. We'll see you next time. Have a great week, everyone.
I'm quick. I just wanted to pick it with Tony more. That's all.
Yeah,
I know. We could probably have an whole article or a whole episode where we're bickering. That's not good.
I just wanted to make this show fun because the show is a fun feeling. Like we're just going
over.
Yeah,
absolutely, we're just talking shit. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Slow.
Yeah.
Although I didn't get into my articles. Or
you didn't. So you're just gonna say that.
Oh yeah. Well, let's do that now, and Well, I'll put it at the end of the music because we always have like an end of the show thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll just be like off topic kind of thing, but it's on topic. All right, we'll just start whenever you want to.
Yeah, well, I got a – this is a little note to all the registered dietitians out there. Or not a little note, but more so a little disagreement. There's a client of mine that I have who I've been training for a few months, and going to be going back and forth with her nutritionist, and definitely have a few – I've had a few disagreements with her, and it just boggles my mind that these issues are still dominant in that field. Basically, just to kind of, you know, give a Cliff Notes version of what she's saying, I've been basically telling this client of mine that, you know, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to focus on a little bit more protein and fat on the times when you're not training, you know, kind of lower the carbohydrates a little bit. She's been a little discouraged as far as, you know, how much fat loss she's been having in the past few weeks. And I asked her, well, how's the diet going along, and, you know, what percentage of your calories is coming from carbs? And her dietitian has her at 60%. And I'm like, you know what, even if you're hypocaloric, 60% carbohydrates is still kind of retarded.
Oh, I know this. I'm sorry, I don't mean to butt in, but I had this whole discussion with Brian Grasso when we were recording an episode of Youth Fitness Radio. And it was the same thing. One of my teachers won't leave the 60-20-20 with carbohydrates, protein, and fat. And we even on one of the tests, I disagreed with her. And I gave her, like, plenty of reasons to allow me to get full credit on this, because I'm going to do a quick example. There was a guy, he was 220 pounds. He was lifting 4 days a week. So we calculated his calories, and we're doing the macronutrient breakdown. And all I did, I did 40% protein. Well, I was trying to get it close to 1 gram per pound, more or less.
Right.
And I did 40%. So I did 40-30-30, and she wouldn't give me credit for it. And she says, well, there's only so much protein that your body can use daily, and your body wouldn't even be able to use all that protein. Well, I'm like, well, is it really a big deal if he has some protein left over that it just gets digested and not used? Is that going to be the end of the world? But sorry, Tony, continue.
No, I totally agree. Because that's actually kind of a point that she was bringing up with me, was saying that she didn't agree with my rationale on having a higher protein diet. Now, mind you, I wasn't telling this girl to go out and eat, you know, 200 plus grams of protein a day. I was just saying, you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea to replace some of those carbohydrates with protein or fat. And, you know, she came out with the whole thing that, you know, higher protein diets cause unnecessary strain on the kidneys and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, how is this still possible that registered dietitians still believe this? And so basically, you know, I sent back to her, I wrote back to her in my response, you know, like 3 or 4 studies showing that, you know, higher protein diets don't really cause any kidney damage or strain, and that it's actually, from a body compositional standpoint, it's actually superior. Because, I mean, it's true. I mean, your body's only going to use so much protein, but the thermic effect of protein alone is going to increase metabolism and definitely give a lot of body compositional, good body compositional changes. So, I mean, that was point number one that she did with me, which is, I mean, I could kind of, that was actually not that big of a deal, but the second one that she brought up was even more surreal to me, in the sense that, like I said, I wanted to replace protein for some of those carbohydrates. And this is her quote. She said, however, in the end, it comes down to total calories. Protein is 4 calories per gram. Carbohydrates is 4 calories per gram. Fat is 9 calories per gram. It makes absolutely no sense to replace protein for carbohydrate in a diet for weight loss if they provide the exact same amount of calories. And I'm like, oh, my God, you did not just throw that card down to me. So I'm like, so basically her rationale was, because protein and carbohydrates have the same caloric value, there's no need to tweak things. And I'm like, okay, so what about the hormonal response that those two macronutrients have on the body? Because, I mean, carbohydrates are pretty insulinogenic. Protein's not quite so insulinogenic. So, you know, people fail to realize that if you're eating carbohydrates all day, even if you're hypocaloric and 60-70% of your calories are coming from carbohydrates, your body's ability to burn body fat is pretty much zero. It's going to use whatever fuel is most readily available. And if you're eating carbohydrates, it's going to get turned to glucose, and that's what the body's going to use as fuel. You know, so I wrote back to her telling my point of view, and, like, you know, I even added links to a few of my articles. I mean, even then, she's breaking down the caloric value of these macronutrients. She probably thought I was some meathead personal trainer, had no idea what he was talking about.
I know. This is the same thing that I was trying to just get the point across, and and I was doing this in a polite manner, by the way, that I was just trying to say that I understand you have something that is recommended by the FDA, but if you apply this to the real world, where people are getting 60 to 65% of their calories from carbohydrates, that might be a reason why there's such a high rate of diabetes in our country. Might be a reason why people can't lose fat. What are you trying to argue here? If you look at the statistics right now, look at how screwed our country is. Obviously, these recommendations aren't working very well. Like, it just...
I agree wholeheartedly.
It's almost like being stubborn, but just not having... I don't know. Maybe the time or the energy to learn something after you get your certification.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it could boil down to. I know, and at the same rate, I mean, I understand the ADA is pretty strict with, you know, what they suggest and what they recommend. So, I mean, if you're a registered dietitian through the ATA, I mean, I don't know this for a fact, but, you know, a lot of times I think their hands are tied behind their back as far as what they're allowed to recommend and with their clients, you know. But certainly, you know, she was very... She assumed that I didn't know what I was talking about, and I was a meathead personal trainer. And, you know, and I just made it a point of saying, you know, just because I don't have letters next to my name doesn't mean I don't know, you know, this kind of stuff. And but certainly I never heard back from her. So, you know, when I wrote her back, I probably gave her four or five studies, and whether or not she read them, I don't know. So I hope she did. But, you know, but we'll see what happens. But I just wanted to share those because I just feel that it's very frustrating in this field when people, you know, we're working with the same client. And, I mean, for the most part, I kept my mouth shut as far as nutrition because, I mean, the last thing this client needs is for me to say one thing and her nutritionist to say another, and then she's all confused.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, I mean, I just had like two minor disagreements, and I even let her know that, you know, for the most part, you know, people in our industry agree on 90% of everything. It's just that other 10% that we kind of get a little and huffy about. And, you know, and those were the two disagreements I had with her. I thought they were pretty big, you know, discrepancies. Like, her rationale for both arguments were pretty, you know, asinine in my opinion. And I haven't heard back from her, nor did I expect to, but it's definitely unfortunate. So I win.
Well, even if she wants to play the whole FDA card, if you go on FDA.gov right now, there's actually articles on there if you want to lose weight, there's actually a whole section with a bunch of articles in regards to healthier eating, counting calories, starting like weight loss goals, planning your meals, and in the healthier eating section actually says that you should be limiting sugars as much as possible. Yeah. At least make half of your grains whole. You should probably try to make them all, obviously. And they're talking about knowing your fats, and they said that people shouldn't be limiting their fat intake because, I mean, you got to keep in mind your fat-soluble vitamins, A, D, E, and K. And if you're on like a 10% fat diet or a 50% fat diet, you might not even be able to use all your fat-soluble vitamins.
Yeah.
So it's
and even that, it's like, you know, there's a big difference between weight loss and fat loss. I mean, I know it's we kind of sound like a broken record in saying that, but you know, weight loss to me, I mean, yeah, you reduce. I mean, like, going back to Alan's presentation, you know, he had, like, what, 15 studies up there showing how lower carbohydrate diets, if we took an isocaloric diet compared to a low carbohydrate diet compared to a high carbohydrate diet, same caloric value, mm-hmm. the low carbohydrate diet had a greater percentage of fat loss mm-hmm. and lean body mass, you know, maintenance. You know, so you got to look at, I mean, there's a huge difference between weight loss and fat loss. So, you know, her rationale that for weight loss, you know, providing, you know, replacing protein for carbohydrate doesn't make sense. It's like, I could give two craps about someone losing weight. I want them to lose fat. You know, it's easy to get someone to lose weight. Take away 70% of their calories. Yeah, that's why Atkins works initially. That's why South Beach works initially, because people are taking away more than 50% of their calories and they lose weight, but they're not fixing the crux of the problem. You know, and You know, so if we look at, and that, not only that, you don't even look at the metabolic issues. You know, T3 goes down, T4 goes down, mm-hmm. leptin goes down, ghrelin goes up. Ghrelin's involved with your appetite. So basically, when you go on a hypocaloric diet, you have all the hormones involved with increasing metabolism going down. And you have the one hormone that's making you feel hungry going up. So they don't look into that, and you know, so we have to look at it more of a fat loss standpoint. And like Alan said in his presentation, it's, you know, lower carbohydrate diets always win. They trump higher carbohydrate diets in the sense of fat loss. And most people, when they say weight loss, they mean fat loss. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. You know, I they're kind of synonymous with each other, and it is kind of entering semantics when we talk about that. But I just think it's an important differentiation to make.
No doubt about it. And take your damn fish oils, people. They do everything.
What'd you say, that, Jimmy?
I said, take your damn fish oils, people. They do everything.
Yeah, and like I still battle with clients. Like, I mean, with the club I work at, we have a nutritionist, but you know, I feel fairly comfortable talking nutrition with people. Like, I feel like I know what I'm talking about. You know, and they still feel that, you know, all fat, I can't eat any fat, and this and that. And I'm just like, it's not about how much fat you eat. It's the types you're eating. Mm-hmm. You know, even saturated fat is good for
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, red meat has a big stigma as being high saturated fat, but little people know that 50% of the fat that's in red meat is mono and polyunsaturated mm-hmm. fat. And even the 50% that is saturated fat, it's stearic acid, which lowers your bad cholesterol. So, I mean, and if you're buying lean cuts of red meat in the first place, you really have nothing to worry about. And of course, take your fish oil. You know, we consider it a supplement, and we say it's a supplement, but that and protein powder are two things, just from a health standpoint, I think everyone should be taking.
No doubt about it.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for everyone for continuing to listen to the show. Hopefully you all did. And
you know, I just went off on a diatribe there, but damn it. Some registered dietitians pissed me off.
Oh, no doubt about it. And I don't want to make this classification, but I'm not going to say who said it, but they made a great point. Like, 50% of all the dietitians that you're going to hate are ex-track or marathon runners. And they're the ones that needed the high carbohydrate intake. They're the only ones that needed it, not your everyday person that's working out 2 days a week or 3 days a week. So, all right. Well, thanks again to you guys for joining us. And thank you, Tony and Jimmy.
Yeah, absolutely. I enjoyed it. Hope to be on again soon.
Absolutely. We'll get out of here, and thanks again for everyone for downloading. We're just going to fade out, and there's no music here. We'll see you next time.